Well, I would appreciate your prayers. We desire that the Lord would help us. Thinking about something that Brother Ed Wilson said, I've commented on it a number of times. He said there is a part for God to play. There's a part for us. And God won't do ours and we can't do His. But there is a part for us to do. And sometimes we like to think that, and many people's belief even is that God does it all. But I'm minded of scriptures like, come unto me, all ye that labor. That means I'm here, you come. Scriptures like, come boldly to the throne of grace. The throne of grace is open and available. You come. There is scriptures like, let this mind be in you. You can stop it or you can let it. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible like that. And if you even want to go far enough with it, there are scriptures like, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. Who stands still? You stand still. It's your choice to do it. So there's a place. God is unfailing in His part.
Right.
Now, I think we are interested in God's part. We want to know what God will do. We want to understand Him. We want the blessings of knowing God. But it's not as important to know God's part because He'll do His part whether you know it or not. He's perfect in His part. He'll do it absolutely. But we need to know more our part so that we can fulfill our duties to the Lord in our part. And we have a part to play in this. The salvation that we have is based on us understanding that we need to repent. God can bring us to the knowledge that we've sinned. And He will can bring us to the, and under His Holy Ghost conviction, He can bring conviction into our hearts. But He won't repent for you. He'll make you to know you need to, but you'll have to do that part. It'll have to be a resignation of yourself to God. So there's a part that we play in the salvation of our souls. My soul is continually in my hands. Listen, God can inspire me to live for Him, but He won't make me live for Him. I'm going to have to do the things. God can set it up till we have a worship service or a camp meeting or an assembly meeting. The Lord can set it up till we can have that, but you don't have to go to it. Your part is to get up. Get up. There may be some that's been in this meeting that's still in bed. That's not God's part. God done His. He'll do His part. And He'll even remind you some. You ever have the Lord remind you of something? Sure. The Lord's reminded us before of things like get up or it's time to, or you need to pray or something like that. But they're still a part. I don't understand all the mysteries of this thing, to be honest with you. I don't know why this is predicated on our prayers. But it is. Do you know that it is? We serve the great God of the universe, and yet a lot of what happens hinges on our prayers. Well, according to the scriptures, you receive not because you ask not. Well, why didn't you just give it to me, Lord? Because you have a part in it that you have to play. I've had the Lord to work in a lot of different ways in my life. And I know Sister Irma's here and she's heard this story, so I don't mind telling it again. But when Sister Irma's husband died, Brother Bob Slee died, it was sick. The night that he died, I was getting ready for bed. And we knew that he was sick, but I never knew that it was an urgent case, really. I just knew that he was sick. And that night, when I went, got ready for bed, and when I laid down on bed, as soon as I laid down on the bed, as soon as I laid down, a vision come into my mind so strong of a man. He was out on the ocean. It was kind of a dreary black and white scene. He had this old raincoat and rain hat on, and he was out there with a double oar, and he was rowing, and the waves was, and he was rowing for all he was. It was so vivid in my mind that I sat straight up and said, "Lord, what is this?" And I was so stunned by it that the only thing I can think of is somebody's in desperate trouble. And so I went immediately to pray, but I did not know what to pray. And I said, "Lord, if the vision is actual, then bless that man in the boat. But if it's spiritual and somebody's in trouble, Lord, you know. So have mercy. Help this man. Help him." And I was praying, "Help this man. Whatever it is, help him." And I prayed till I was content with prayer and went back just a little bit later. I went back and lay down on the bed, and my vision came back, and the man was safely, and it wasn't black and white anymore. The man was safely coming out into this beautiful field along the ocean. He was coming out into this safe place, and I said, "Thank the Lord." I didn't even know what it meant. And that took place in about a 15-minute span, and I got a call. It said, "Brother Bob had passed." "Oh, when?" "Well, it was about 15 minutes ago." I don't know why it's this way, but it is. This, we have a part to play in the eternity of people's lives. You got loved ones that you care about. I don't know why or how it works all together and why God's God. But there's a battle that goes on that we're a part of. And the victory of that battle many times has to do with our part. Our prayers. Our fervency in prayer. We have a part to play in this great struggle for our souls. And God won't do it. And we can't do His. I can't make a miracle. I can't make the sun to rise. I can't make the rain to stop or the storm to miss. I can't do any of those God things. But God won't do ours either. We're going to have to do it. So I want to look at a scripture with that as kind of a foundation in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah. It starts out this way, understanding the position that the children of God were in at the time. They were in a lethargic, lazy, sleepy mode. And this is the 57th chapter says, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Awake, awake, put on thy strength." You ever think of that? I think we have a song, don't we? Don't we have a song in our book that uses that? "Awake, O Zion, put on thy strength, O Zion." Well, what does it mean, "put on thy strength"? I'll tell you what. Have you ever woke up and just been like, just don't feel like doing anything? Or as the clock went off sometimes and you kind of reach for that turn that thing off. You feel like, oh, it's time to start, and I don't feel like starting. I don't feel like moving. I don't want to do anything. That's the place that we can find ourselves in spiritually. It's not that we don't want to serve the Lord, and it's definitely not that we don't want to go to heaven. It's at the place that we're in a groggy spiritual place and really don't want to move and don't have the fervency of seeing the things of God go and just with lethargic and all that. And so the cry was, "Awake, O Zion!" Now here's what it is in the natural sense. I know how you feel in the natural sense. I wake up just about every morning that way. But I've lived long enough to know that that feeling will persist as long as I allow it to persist. But when I say, that's enough, okay, and I put my feet on the floor, it doesn't mean it's better altogether, but it's starting to get better. Awake, O Zion, but more than waking up till you got one eye pried open, start moving. Put your strength on. You know what that means? You start your heart beating. You start moving. Move. 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 Do something. I tell you, if you got a problem with that, put your feet on your floor, go to the sink, turn the water on, start put your strength on, get your blood going, get yourself going that you can perform the duties of the day so that you can have, you know, your mind's not working right. Your mind's not working right. That you're not fresh, you're not going. Put your strength on. Get it going. Get fired up. You got something to do. You got something to do in this thing. So, O Zion, arise first. Wake up. Get up. Start putting your strength on. Start putting the armor on. Start putting your clothes on. That's the way the day starts. You don't want to see me in my pajamas. See people at the Walmart in their pajamas. Well, maybe it ain't their pajamas. It looks to me like it's their pajamas. And it looks like they just got out of bed. Their hair ain't combed. Their pajamas is on. That's fine, I guess. But I don't really want to be seen at Walmart with my pajamas on. And my hair not combed. Get up. Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Put your clothes on. Spiritually, put the breastplate on. You're going to need it. War's coming. Put your strength on. Get your heart going and get your ambition going. Get yourself going. And you say, well, God's going to have to do it. He said, put your strength on. What's it take? Maybe it works a little different for you, for me, than it does for you. I like to meditate for a while. I like to think about things. Sometimes when the Lord gives me a message, it's only a little bit of a thought, and I like to get by myself, or I like to start doing something and get my mind running on it, and I think about it, and the Lord gives me passages of scriptures and a story sometime, and something that went with it, and something that brother said, and something they sang about, and something like that, and the Lord, put your strength on. And then the Lord will say sometimes to you, talk to the man on the corner. You ain't ready while you're in bed. You can't even get two words together. You can't make a sentence. Get up, get your mind into it, pray, get yourself in order so that you can present something. Well, ain't that important? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. It isn't up just to a minister to pray. Yes. Well, everybody's got to pray. There's a part for everybody. Don't diminish the fact that you are just as important in this thing as anybody else is. That's right. And God can do just as much with you as He can anybody else that ever was. Well, Apostle Paul had space. Apostle Paul was a flesh and blood man that gave his heart to God. And God can use you too. Get up. Wash your face. Comb your hair. Get your spiritual thoughts going. Get yourself going so that the Lord can use you in His service. O Zion, awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. So many times we want God to work in spite of us. We want the Lord to work and leave me out of it. And sometimes, I remember one time there was somebody I knew, they needed a vehicle. And so I had testified to them how God had been providing for me. And I'll say this, I went full time into ministry in 95 and He has wonderfully provided. He's a real God. And He knows how to do that, and He can bring it from sources you wouldn't hardly even believe. But God is God! And I had testified to these people that I needed a vehicle, and how the Lord had given me, how the Lord had worked it out. And so I'm going to share that with you just in an instant, how I got to a certain place here. We needed a vehicle, and so we was praying for a vehicle, and Brother Tim Husky had called me and said, "Brother Marty, I got this vehicle." And I'm like, "Whoa, here's the Lord. Here's the Lord." So he has his station wagon, his perfect vehicle, and on. He said, "I had you in mind when I got it." Well, that's wonderful. That's another testimony. Had me in mind. And so we set it up. I had this old van. It was about shot. And he had this. And so we was going to meet in the middle. And going to be at Monarch. And I was going to pick the vehicle up. Somebody's going to bring it from Guthrie to Monarch. And I was going to get the vehicle. Wonderfully, the Lord provided. Well, got the vehicle and all. And then Brother Ken Allen said, "Hey, Brother Marty, what are you going to do with the van?" And I said, don't know. The Lord's van. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I can sell it real easy out here in Missouri. If you want me to, I'll detail it out and clean it up and see what I can get out of it." And I said, "Would you do that?" He said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to do it for you." And I said, "Well, we'll do it." We never said how much money to get this, that, or the other. Well, I asked Brother Tim, "Well, what do you want for the car?" And he said, "Well, if you'll give me what I got in it." "Well, what's that brand?" Basically a brand new. It had almost no miles on it. He said, "Well, $1,500. And I said, "Oh, well, that's great. All right." So we made the deal. And so it was some time after that. I was at home, and I think it was Kent's wife actually called and said, "Just hold the van and we'll be sending you a check." And I said, "Okay." And I got off the phone. My wife said, "What was that? They said they sold the van and he's going to send us a check." And she said, "Well, how much did he get from the van?" And I said, I didn't ask him. "Well, you should have asked him." I said, "I don't need to ask him. I don't need to ask him. I know what he got out of it." "Well, how do you know how he got out of it?" "Because I know the Lord. And I know what he got out of it." "Now, how do you know that?" It was a question. "How do you know that?" I'm telling you, I know how much that is. And I can tell you before I opened the envelope when it got there that it was going to be $1,500. And the Lord paid for that, and I'd give that testimony. And it was right. See, I probably wouldn't have told it if I'd been wrong, but it was $1,500. The Lord paid it. Well, I told that testimony to these people, so they had said, "Well, pray for us." Okay? So I started praying for them, and Lord helped them get this car, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Get him a car." Well, I wasn't meaning that. I meant that the Lord, you can provide him a car. Well, I provided you buy this certain car for him. And I was really, I obeyed the Lord and ended up doing it. I even tagged it for him and done that. And got the car for him and saying, "What's this about? I have a part too. You have a part too. God bless me, you bless them." Done all that, come back to my hometown, went to the mailbox, and exactly what I paid for all that was in the mailbox. I'm telling you, the Lord is real and we have a part. in what we have a part in serving the Lord. And sometimes He's going to say to you, I gave to you, you received, now you give. You freely receive, you freely give. Wake up! Wake up! You don't, on the other end of it, wake up! You can be the one that's prayed for, right? If you needed to, would you call for help in the middle of the night? Would you? If you was hurting bad enough, would you call in the middle of the night some people to pray for you? I'm not real, you know, I don't like to mess with people in the middle of the night, but it get to a point, you'll get some calls. I mean, I get that. Will you pray for somebody in the middle of the night? If you'll receive it, freely you receive, freely give. When I was a young minister, I wanted to work for the Lord and all, and so I actually, I'm telling you, I did, young minister, young in the Lord, I said to the people around, I want you to call me in the middle of the night. I don't have that experience. Nobody ever called me. I don't have the experience. So, if you get in need, call me. Well, we had an old lady up there that, well, some of you knew her, some of you know her, Sister Tinsley, and Sister Tinsley, if you knew Sister Tinsley, I don't know what to say about it to be generous here. Sister Tinsley needed a lot of prayer, but she could schedule when she needed it, if that says something to you. She had spells, but if you wasn't going to be available, she would skip that night of spells and have it the night that you was available. So, but she was a person in need. Regardless of what caused that, she needed that. But she could sleep through the day if she needed to and call you at any point and be wide awake. And so she was a person that had needs. But when I got up to minister, I told Brother Sam and Brother Tony and them, please, if Sister Tinsley needs something in her, call me. I want to experience this. I want to be able to go and pray for somebody. You can get into challenges that you didn't realize. And so the first time I went, they hadn't really told me. And so I was available. And so I went in the middle of the night to Sister Tinsley's and went in and had prayer for her. And she was labored in breathing is what she did. And she would like this. And she would do that for a while. Anyway, I got there and had prayer for her and all. And so she kind of calms her breathing. She looks at me and says, Brother Marty, will you sing to me? Well, that's kind of a challenge for me. And I said to Sister Tinsley, oh, I don't think you would want that. And she said, Brother Tony sings to me. Brother Mark sings to me. I said, well, Sister Tinsley, what do you want to hear? This is why I'm here. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like the Lord blessed it. She liked it and it all turned out pretty good. But we all have a part. We all have a part to do it. If I'm going to call for somebody to come and minister to me, then maybe I ought to be willing to go minister too. Maybe there's parts for all of us to play, and there's never a place so crowded. There's never a world so crowded or a congregation so crowded or even a meeting so crowded that you can't pray for it. Prayer is an amazing thing. God hears the very slightest whispers of our heart when nobody else hears it. You can pray to God when nobody else hears it. Do you remember when he looked and said, she's drunk, she's over there. No, she wasn't. She was praying, and there's always a need for it, and we all have the responsibility for it. But I want to go a step farther than that. Not everybody will have the gift of praying publicly, but somebody's got to have it. There's nothing wrong with sincere people asking God for gifts. You don't have to settle with one either. The word is plural, gifts. You don't have to stop at one. Lord, give me the most convenient, the best gifts for me. Well, Lord, what do you have for me? I can help. I can be an auto worker. I can praying service, or I can be somebody that stacks or washes dishes or cleans the bathroom. But there's a place for everybody. Everybody can do the physical place. I never want to get so big or exalted or think I'm a minister so I can't clean the bathroom, because a minister can clean a bathroom too. Or we can wash the dishes too. It's a duty we all work for. So maybe I've got a calling of pulpit ministry and bathroom cleaning. Well, you say, well, a minister shouldn't be. Well, I don't agree with you there. There's physical work that has to be done sometimes, and I ain't above it. But I want to do what the Lord wants us to do. And I know there's a part to be played for everybody in there. Arise up and wash your face. Put your strength on. Put your strength on. God's not going to put your strength on. See, there's a strength that belongs to God that we all have to have. But we don't get that strength unless we put our strength on to get it. You got to get up. Lord, I'm going to lay here in bed and you bless that service real good. Bless whatever minister it is that's going to get up. What if all the minister was laying in bed? Where's everybody at? Still in bed. Well, they're praying hard for the meeting. No, get up and put your calling on. Put your beautiful garment on. You know what that's talking about? Put your gift of God around you. Put what He gave to you. You may be a person that's naturally a friendly person that God can use a gift to you to inspire people to friendliness. Maybe you can just walk in and talk to people or reach out something to them and be, you know, some people just don't have the gift. They're just a little abrasive. I don't know why it's this way. I'm just telling you it's this way. And there's other people can come talk to the same people and get away with anything. And just be liked. Put your strength on. Put your beautiful garment on. Get up. God has something for all of us to do. There's a scripture I want to look at in Joshua 7. Oh, let's see, 7 in, well, I'm going to, without reading a lot of this, I'll just kind of set the stage. You remember when the children of Israel comes over, and after, maybe Brother Carl maybe touched on this, after they had went around the walls of Jericho, and God had showed what God can do. Well, again, I don't know why God didn't just knock the walls down before they got there. I think sometimes about God and know that He can do anything, and it makes me to wonder sometimes. I mean, they could have marched over there. They obviously was on a roll. I mean, the generations before couldn't step in there. But you remember, if you remember, they had the ark, and here they come, the processions, and He told them to go, but the water hadn't divided yet. And they went and they said, until he told them, you're going to have to step in and go. And when the priest started stepping in the waters, then it, you remember, there's a part for God. They can't split the water and make it stand on its edge and back up the Jordan. They can't do that. Now God's part's that and He can do it. But He's not going to do that until you do that. You step or nothing gets done. My part will be done if your part is done. And when they stepped in, you remember? And they come, they're on a row. So why not just go on and say, here's a city up there. You keep marching, the walls fall down. That's not what God did. I don't know why He always does what He does. And I wouldn't believe you if you said, I know what God always does. I wouldn't believe you. God's ways are higher than our ways. But I know this, in every one of these scenarios, there's a part for the people to play. So He gets to the walls of Jericho, remember? Give them some instructions. Told them to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. I believe I got it right. And be quiet. March around. Don't need to do anything other than that. What's this about? That kind of looks silly. It's not silly. Just do it. Just put on your strength. I don't feel like walking today. Somebody else walk for me? No. Get up at that point in time. Wash your face. Put your strength on and start walking. And around the city they go. One time a day, 6 days. And on the seventh day, You go around there and on the seventh time, wasn't it? You shout. I wonder what they shouted. Hosanna, praise God. I don't know what said, shout, our God is great. I don't know blow the trumpet. And here it comes. You do your part and watch God. Now, what happens many times, Lord, help us. Let's do something. We want to see souls saved. Then march around the city. Put on your strength. We want something to happen. The Lord said, I wonder if it's different now than it was back when they wrote it. Maybe it's weakened some. Maybe the Word of God's numbing down. It's weakened. When Zion travails, she bring forth. Well, I wonder if that still applies to 2019. Well, if it's going to happen, it's going to be from travailing. When Zion travails, she bring forth. Seven times shout, blow the trumpet, and get out of the way. Here it comes. The walls are coming down. You can't tear the walls down like that. But you can obey God and see what God does when it's time for His part to happen, you watch when you've done your part. But He also told him more than that, you can interfere in God. You know that? You can be a hindrance. He told them to not touch the accursed thing. I don't know why a garment would be cursed. Other than symbolism, other than the Lord said, leave it alone, other than it meant to our day, a taking on of the world and the world's things, something that is a corrupting. But He said not to do it. And He said of the gold and the silver, He said of that, that is mine, saith the Lord. That goes to the treasury of the Lord. That's the house of the Lord. Don't do it. And Achan's eyes got big. Now, I want to say something about Achan. Maybe you haven't thought about it. He did walk across the Jordan. Think of that. Nobody ever said, but somebody picked those stones up and put them in piles. Somebody did. Achan come across the Jordan. And he marched six times, once a day around Jericho. And he went the seventh time and he screamed. He yelled. He done a lot, didn't he? But he got in God's way. He done something that he shouldn't do. Folks, there's a part for us to play in this thing. And part, some of it is to make sure that our life is clean. Our life, that we can blend our lives into a pure, holy setting. That there is no defilement here. There's nothing that the Lord's not pleased with. So here's the setting of this. And you know, Achan took the accursed thing and he took a little bit of gold, a little bit of silver. I don't know. It's as strange as what the things in the world are, because Achan wasn't ever going to be able to enjoy that I could see. When are you going to pull it out and wear it? When are you going to get something from it? How's it going to be? What, it's a bragging thing, or what's it going to do? He just had a covetous spirit. He fell for it, and there it is. And now here's the situation. And so what happened was there's this little city of people that didn't amount to anything, and they looked at it and said, "Oh, let's send. Well, I send a few guys up there. No sense in troubling all of Israel or bothering them with all this. We'll send a little army up there, and we'll conquer that." And they went up there, and you remember the ambush and all that, and 30-some people die, and Israel shows their back to this little enemy, and Joshua's saying, "Lord, what is this? You promised us. We've seen you work all of these things." And here's what Joshua does. He falls down before the Lord. Oh. Now, if he would reflect it back, that first chapter of Joshua, "Be strong and of a good courage, Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. You walk with me and I'll walk with you. I'll fight your battles for you and you'll be strong. You'll be able to defeat your enemies, and they won't see your backs, for you'll conquer them. Be strong and of a good courage. He said that a couple of different times to Joshua. Now Joshua, he gets the defeat. So he falls on his ground, and he has a little prayer, and we'll maybe get 7th verse says, Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us?" Oh Lord, this is what it looks to me. He brought us in here to be destroyed. Would to God we would have been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan? I'm backing up here. Maybe we shouldn't have tried to reach those tracks out. Maybe we shouldn't have tried to touch those people. Maybe we shouldn't have went into that place. Maybe we shouldn't try to conquer from the Lord here. Maybe we broke off too much here. Maybe we should have just been contented like our forefathers was to not have enough faith to go into the land. Lord, help us. Is that kind of despondent? Oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? So here's the setting. They suffered a defeat. And it was so monumentous to Joshua that he looked and said, this is going to hinder God's cause greatly. Because the inhabitants of the land who would fear us and step aside for us for a great conquering God. The walls of Jericho fell down. The waters couldn't hinder them from crossing. They didn't need to build a bridge. You don't need engineers in this thing. God is working. And now they're all going to hear about this little bit of people that outdone us. The 10th verse. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Get thee up, Joshua." Now I think it was good for Joshua to humble himself and pour his heart out for God. And I don't think God was condemning him for that. But I do think there was a higher place here that Joshua maybe could have obtained. For one thing is that I think we agree with this today. We serve a perfect God. An unfailing God. A God that's always right. He's all powerful, all knowing, and all present. He never misses anything. His providence is exact. His timing's exact. Everything about God is perfection. And we serve that kind of a God. So when we have those kind of places in our lives to where we haven't achieved what we should, or we fall on our face, or we end up something, there's a better way of doing this than what Joshua done. And I want to tell you what it is. Lord, what do we lack? Lord, where did we go wrong? Lord, what are you trying to say to us to get us into a better place than we are now? When we pray and it seems evident that the Lord hasn't answered that prayer, whether it's affliction or deliverance or whatever it is, and it doesn't come to pass, there's nothing wrong. As a matter of fact, everything right to be able to say, Lord, why not? Why are we hindering? Or do you have a greater purpose and desire for us in this all? Or is this a time to where my part is to stand still and see your salvation? Or is this something to where I've got to wrestle through this to get victory to my own soul? Maybe there's something in there that the Lord points out and says, not over this. I want you to come to this kind of a place. Zion, arise and put on your strength. Get your face washed. Get your blood pumping. Get ready for the battle. So when it comes, and the suggestion is that your soul's not right, you're there with the warfare for it. Lord, help us here. Oh, woe is us. We're down all these things. God will not be defeated. We may fail, falter, flop around. But God's always right. And we just need to get back hooked up with the Lord. So he says to Joshua, Joshua, get thee up. Why? It says, wherefore? But why liest thou thus He asked him a question. Joshua, why are you laying on your face? Get up. Did I not tell you to be strong and of a good courage and I would fight your battles for you? Now get up. Wash yourself. Put your strength on. Put your calling on. You are the leader of my people now. Stand up to it. Put your warfare, get your breastplate of righteousness. Get your truth on. Get your helmet of salvation, your sword of the Spirit. Get your shield of faith. Get your armor. And get going. Oh, Joshua, why would it have happened to you? You know, it's like the Lord's, come on, Joshua, think here. Why would it happen to you? Why would I not have done that? Why would I have allowed that? Think. Why would I allow that? Oh, yeah. Sin in the camp. Something's hindered God. I just ask this as a question that I maybe can't answer. But do you think it's possible that one person can clog up the works of God in a congregation? Amen. Do you think it's possible that a spirit could settle itself in this and hinder a congregation? I don't know how to answer this other than my beliefs and what I've seen of life and experiences. Yes. I've seen it. I don't know why. I'm not sure how that all works. But I know this, that faithful people and honest people will always come out on top. God isn't going to forsake you. And God's got a way of using all of these things, even the very devil's attack on you. Anybody ever wake up before in that time of your waking that you feel like that you're vulnerable to the devil's attack and he will bring this awful feeling of death and gloom and just discouragement and just, anybody ever feel that but me? It seems like any kind of a weakness of thought or mind that the devil will take an avenue in and get in and bombard that. And there are some times that I feel like death itself is stuck on me and it's dark and gloomy and it's, awake Zion. Amen. Awake. Shake yourself. Rise up to your faith and say no to that. You know what happens? I'll wake up. I'll get going. And then I'll have a mind to say, get behind me, Satan. Quit putting that thought into my mind. I'm not going to think that way. Maybe it'll be about something or something. And you can't only resist it. And you put your strength on. Faith is strength. God's words are strength. Put it on. Put on what you got. Put your beautiful garment on. I don't have to live with that. I can put my robe around me. And you know what it says? I'm a child of the King. I have to think that way. That death that you're trying to hang on me don't belong to my Lord. He conquered it. You tried to stick it on him. He went, he died, and by his own power, he resurrected. He owns it. He owns it. No more sting in it anymore. No victory in that grave anymore because of the Lord. So the devil comes on, wash your face, get up, get your strength on, get motivated in the Lord, and conquer. Amen. The banner over us is love, and we go on in that. Arise. We live in a time that's made, it's made spiritually. It's a very, very busy time, isn't it? Very, very busy in the flesh. Very, very busy. But it's tailor-made for lethargy of the Spirit. It's tailor-made to be so busy that the Spirit's sleepy. Sleepy. Just dozy. You know, that feeling of just dozing. You're just not in it and you're not out of it. You're just almost there. That's a pretty poor church service. What was that? What did he say? But do this. I got that part. What's that? Just over. Or the songs. Yeah, we sung songs. I sing them that way. No, sing them that way. Wash your face. Put your strength on. get it going. Joshua, get off your face. This is the Lord. Why are you on your face? Get up. Get your strength on. There's sin in the camp, and there's a way for you to eradicate that sin and get the people back on track. There's a way for you to be back in the lead on this, back on the track, get rid of the thing there, repent of it, take it out of there. Then all of you look to God again. I'm taking you somewhere, and you've just had a little setback. Folks, listen, there's setbacks in life. Something will happen to you. Somebody will disagree with you. Somebody's going to challenge you. Sometimes there are close people to you too. There's going to be things happen. Put your strength on. Put your strength on and call it a incident in the Lord. And think, Lord, what are you going to do mighty for me in this? If I'll do my part, He'll do His. He's going to come through and prove the whole thing. He's going to prove the whole thing. So Lord, help us. We have a part. Don't be deceived by thinking God's going to do your part. He's going to leave your part till you do it. Sometimes we say, well, maybe somebody else will do my part. Well, if you don't do your part, you don't get your part. You don't do the part. You need to do your part. Wake up. Wake up. Get going. Get motivated. And you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. I want to look at another scripture. Oh, I've used this a number of times, but it's in 1 Samuel. Maybe set a setting of this too, without reading too much of it. 1 Samuel, 30th chapter. David and his men, they kind of left off pursuing some enemy, I think, and when they come back to the, when they come back to the camp, the enemy had snuck in and took all their stuff. They took their wives, these men's wives, and they took their children. And they took the precious things of them, and so they come back, and here's David's the leader. You know, one of our presidents said the buck stops here. Well, with David, the buck stopped with David. He was the man that was responsible. So they get back, and I imagine it was kind of like, somebody strategically messed up here. You know, you're supposed to leave a rear guard. You're supposed to leave a defensive force around your stuff. David didn't leave no force behind his stuff, and then when he got back, it was gone. And so the people spoke of stoning David to death because they were so upset that they weep and cry, oh, my wife, my children, everything is present. The reason we fight's gone. We lost the battle. We lost it, David. Everybody looks at David. Here's the scripture I want. 1 Samuel 30 and 6 says, David was greatly distressed. I guess so. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Who did? God didn't encourage him? Well, wait, I'm going to wait and slander you all for not caring enough about me to encourage me. Shame on you, bad saints. Said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Whose responsibility is your soul? It's yours. Encouraged himself in the Lord. Can we encourage ourselves in the Lord? David did. David looked like he was going to be stoned to death, and he went and encouraged himself in the Lord. And you can read the passage. After he encouraged himself in the Lord, he'd done his part. Now it's time for God. And I'm going to tell you, it's that way every time. You do your part, you just watch God do His. He don't miss His time. David encouraged himself. He lived for the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Here's a trial. You don't think God seen the enemy sneaking in and taking their stuff? You don't think God could have stopped him from doing it? Sure He could. I don't know why He didn't. And I probably will never know totally the ways of the Spirit. But God saw it. God allowed it. He let him go out of there. He let the men feel the way they did. He let them come back. He let it all happen. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Lord said then to David, David, get your stuff together. Go get your guys. Pursue after them. And I'll give it back. So now David's got something to say. And they're picking up stones. Okay, get here. We're just going to get him. Okay, guys, lay the stones down. Come on. I've been with the Lord. You want it back? Get your stuff. God said, let's go get it. God's ready to do his part now. You can't do that. Catch him, do all that. But God can. God said, I'll give it back. Let's go. Get off of your face. Get up. Get yourself stirred. Shake yourself to some activity. Laziness, lethargic, whatever you call it, just breeds itself. It just makes it worse and worse and worse. You don't overcome it by saying, oh, I'm so sleepy, I'm going to sleep some more. I'm going to sleep this off. Well, I know we need to recharge and sleep sometimes. But you know that attitude, oh, I'm sleepy, I think I'll sleep a little longer. Sleep a little longer, wake up. I ain't ready to get up yet, we'll sleep a little longer. I always did laugh at the snooze button. Snooze button's one of the funniest comical things to me. Snooze button. Thing goes off, get up. Come on. Sleep a little bit longer. Pop, pop, pop. Just now you're late. Because you're hitting the snooze. If you're going to set it, get up. It's not, well, I'll set my clock. Listen, this is another funny one. I'm going to set it 15 minutes fast so that I won't be late. Why don't you just tell yourself? I can't fake myself out. I know if I set it 15 minutes off, I know it's 15 minutes off. I'm trying to say it's not 15 minutes off. It's 15 minutes off. I know it is. I don't set my scales wrong. I want it to tell me what it is. Because if that's what it is, it's what it is. I want it to lie about it. Tell me the truth about it. And shake myself and say, if I need to stop, I'll stop. Lord, help us. Amen. Lord, help us. Because this is a lethargic time spiritually, folks. There is so much to get you just sleepy spiritually. And why not? There's been a time when people didn't have enough food and they had to pray for their food. When the last time we pray over our food, Lord bless it. And there's places in the world, most of us is spoiled. You know what? I wasn't raised that way. I can remember hunger. We didn't have much. I remember one time I was hungry and we wasn't destitute. I'm just telling you, I remember I was hungry and I was looking for something to eat at my house. I was small and the only thing I found was a piece of bread that I made a piece of toast about it and there was some barbecue sauce left in a bottle and I put the barbecue sauce on the piece of toast. Satisfying enough. But you know what? We don't think like that now, do we? We don't, you know, a lot of the things that people have said, you can look. It's a drought. It didn't rain for 3.5 years. What do you think people was doing? I mean, there were so many needs in people's lives a lot of times. We think we can take care of everything now. It's lazy. Shake yourself. Get up. Get up. Move around. Get the activity. Put your calling on you. Put your blessing on you and go forth in the name of the Lord. David, get up. Get out of that place. Encourage. Go get your stuff back. One other scripture, and I'll finish with this one. It's in 1 Kings 19, I think. I think this is where this is at. This is the story, the way it goes. Elijah had a contest. You remember when Elijah went from one place to the other, and Elijah ends up in a cave? And there was like fire and there was like wind. There was all this stuff. Well, Lord wasn't in it. Lord wasn't in it. Elijah got himself in a place, did he not, that he said, whoa, whoa, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Nobody left but me. Tries to do right. I'm living for the Lord and now it's down to just little old me. And woe is me. Woe is me. Come on, Elijah. Come on, Elijah. Get up out of there. You ain't serving a defeated God. You're serving a real God. Get up out of there. Quit thinking that way. Didn't I just show you? I want to tell you, there's a perfect proof right there that your yesterday's victories will not carry you to today. You need to wake up today. Yeah, you had a great victory last week. Yeah, last year. When you was a young man, you had a great victory. it won't carry over to tomorrow. You need the victory tomorrow. You need to wake up. Okay, Elijah, you're the only one left. You're not the only one left. Elijah, come out of there. I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed there. Well, wait a minute. I didn't know that. Well, they just a whole lot you don't know. There's a whole lot we don't know, folks. But this is for sure. God can do everything. But when it comes to the affairs of men, He leads by His Spirit. He leads us into a place. He's got the power to perform. And we've got to add our part. And when we add our part to His part, we become mighty. But we've got to do our part. We have to add that in to that. God could have defeated the prophets of Baal without Elijah. But He didn't. He did it with one man and his servant. He done His part. And God blessed. Elijah can't call fire down, folks, that licks it all up. But He can put the altar there. And He can pray a prayer of sincerity out of his heart that He did. He prayed He done what the Lord told him to do. He prayed it, and then He left it up to God to send the fire down from heaven. And that's what we're going to have to do. So Zion, arise. Arise individually. Zion or the church is a conglomeration, if you will, of individual people that come in, and you're different and I'm different, and we all love the Lord, and we come together and we make up a body. And the body can only be strong as the individual members. What you want to see it go? You want to see it prosper? You want to see it have victory? Then you're going to have to arise in your individual life and do your part. And if you take care of your calling and I take care of mine and the singers take care of theirs and the prayers take care of theirs and the helpers take care of theirs and everybody does it for the Lord and the Lord's pleased, then the glory comes down and we want to see victory. We want to see deliverance. We're used to it. We want to see deliverance at our altars. You're wrapped in habits and all those things. We want to see the power of God. Fire come down. You can't be haphazard, indifferent, and get that to happen. This is, wake up, Zion. Wash your face. Put your strength on. Get going. And see what God will do. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.